Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. At that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." What a moment of glory that was for Jesus Christ. Jesus had waited 30 years for that moment to come. That long wait was a challenge for him. Have you ever had to wait and wait and wait? I was talking to someone recently who was waiting for the diagnosis from the doctor. Have you ever been there? Sometimes that's the worst part, isn't it? Not knowing and waiting and waiting. Jesus had 30 years of waiting, and now he was ready to move on with his ministry. And finally, on the banks of the Jordan River, he was authenticated. He was empowered by God. For what? For a bigger challenge yet to come. The biggest challenge that has ever faced any man on this planet. What's the biggest challenge that you've ever faced? Was it in the past? Or are you in it right now? Of course, it could be that your biggest challenge is yet to come. It's in the future. And so you can't really answer the question yet. We don't really know, do we? But Jesus could. Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. He could see it all. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." And at once the Spirit sent him into the desert. From his moment of glory, Jesus immediately withdrew into the wilderness. And in doing that, God gave us a very important teaching. Retreat. In fact, as RB just read, Luke 5, verse 16, Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. There. That's God's message for you today. Retreat and pray. There is power in the wilderness experience so long as you are there with God. It says in the Gospel of Mark that the Holy Spirit sent Jesus into the wilderness. That, to me, demonstrates a priority that God places on this idea of retreating and praying. God has given you the Holy Spirit for a number of reasons. Through the Holy Spirit, God teaches you. Through the Holy Spirit, God convicts you. He comforts you. He warns you. And much more. But it's very clear in the context of this scripture that sometimes the Holy Spirit may send you into the desert to challenge you to hear God's voice. God will challenge you in order to equip you for bigger challenges yet to come. Someone put it this way: God will challenge you so that he can change you. God says, "Let me help you. You're going to need me. Let me help you. So let's turn the world off for just a little bit and let's retreat and let's talk about this together." Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 8, "We are hard pressed on every side, perplexed, persecuted, struck down." Jesus Christ knew that he would be perplexed and persecuted and struck down. He knew that he needed to retreat to the wilderness and pray, and so do we. But watch out. The devil is in the wilderness too. And he's looking for you. And when you go into the wilderness with self-pity, have you ever done that? When you go into the wilderness with discouragement, have you ever felt discouraged? When you go there with depression, you step into the devil's hiding place. He's coiled up there waiting for you. He's got his rattle ready to rattle. He's ready to strike you. The wilderness is a very dangerous place, brothers and sisters, if you go there without God. Everything you are, everything that you believe, everything is challenged when you go into the wilderness. So don't go there alone. I was talking to someone recently who is in a wilderness right now, not on a retreat with God, but in a real desert. She is feeling lonely, desperate, defeated, discouraged. She's unable to see any light at the end of the tunnel. And she made this admission to me. She said, "I don't even feel like coming to church." Have you ever been there? I have. It's not a fun place to be. It's like a fish out of the water gasping in the air. Numbers 20, verse 5. The Hebrews were grumbling when they were in the wilderness. "Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." The Hebrews saw the wilderness experience as a disaster, not a retreat. And we do the same thing. You know, Donald Trump would have made a great Hebrew. He would have said to Moses, "This is a disaster." He would have just made it very clear. The Hebrews wanted the easy way out. They didn't want to go through this turmoil. And we do the same thing. I do the same thing, don't you? We want to escape. So we listen to other voices. They lure us to do things like withdraw. Have you ever been there? They lure us to overeat. Have you ever been there? They lure us to oversleep. They lure us to complain. They lure us to seek pleasure wherever we can find pleasure. We don't want to embrace the challenges of the wilderness. That's just exactly who we are. We don't want to hear James 1, verses 2 and 3, but we need to hear them. Are you ready to hear those verses again? They are, "Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Now, when I face trials of any type, I want to blame somebody else. I want to pull the covers over my head and not get out of bed. What about you? Let's shift gears. This is so heavy, isn't it? Let's shift gears. There is hope. Hallelujah. Isaiah 44, verse 3, God is speaking. He says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land." Arby read this too. "I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." If you are in the wilderness right now, brothers and sisters, you are not there alone. God has not forsaken you. If you are about to go into the wilderness, God will not forget you. Cling to that. Cling to that. Remember that even though the Hebrews were in the wilderness for 40 years and they faced a tremendous challenge, the tabernacle was still with them. The pillar of cloud was still with them. The fire was still with them. God was still with them. Even though they failed God in many ways in the wilderness, he did not fail them, and he will not forsake you. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Is that you? The psalmist continues in verse 2. I have seen you, Lord, in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is greater than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. I want you to hear that verse with a different emphasis. Listen to it this way. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you, will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. There. That is your answer. There is your escape from the desert. Determine to worship God even in the wilderness. Deciding to worship God when you're in a challenging situation is one of the greatest challenges of being in the wilderness. Don't blame somebody else. Don't pull the sheets over your head. Don't go back to sleep. But instead decide, I will worship you, God. I will. I will lift my hands. I will glorify you. I will love you. I will honor you. And then you will hear his voice in the wilderness above all the other voices that will tempt you while you're there. Psalm 63 continues in verse 6. My soul will be satisfied. Cling to it. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Listen to verse 8. Claim verse 8. My soul clings to you, Lord. Your right hand upholds me. There is no more tempting time in your life to let go of the hand of God than when you are in the challenge of the wilderness. But God will not let go of your hand. Cling to him. His right hand will uphold you. I love what Isaiah said in chapter 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Brothers and sisters, do you believe God's word? Do you believe God's word? Then you will come through your wilderness experience, whatever it is, better than you were when you entered it. Listen to this. Jesus fasted in the wilderness so that we could feast. Do you believe God's word? Then you will leap like a deer. I can't wait to see that. You will leap like a deer and you will shout for joy again. You will. You will. Do you believe God's word? I do not pray that God will lead you or me into a wilderness experience so that we can be tested and challenged and be made better. I'm just too selfish to pray that he would do such a thing as that. But I do pray that if he does, that I will remember that the challenges that we face in the wilderness will strengthen us to his glory. That our blind eyes will see, that our deaf ears will be open, and that the redeemed of the Lord will have gladness and joy that will overtake us, and sorrow and sighing will flee away to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, when the dominoes fall, when the wilderness is dry, when the pain is overwhelming, when the grief takes over our lives, when we are empty, when we are thirsty, remind us that you're there, that your right hand always holds us, that you will guide us, that you will lead us, that you will help us, you will restore, because, as Pat said, we are children of the King. So, Lord, I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister in the wilderness, in the desert right now, that you will send your Holy Spirit and that you will flood them with living water from head to toe, to the glory of the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.